Blog Talk Radio.
Conviction to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
By Stephen Bubble here, Bozilla, if you will. Is my guest on right now?
I'm holding on.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing today? My guest tonight is Minister. How are you doing tonight? Please introduce yourself. Let everybody know who you are. Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Minister Toya Whitman, and I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and community activist and community organizer, and currently I'm running for a 5th congressional district in Minnesota.
Okay, that's beautiful. We need people like that to be on that side of the fence, that side to fight for the things that's going on. You know what's going on. I've seen some of your videos on Facebook, and you are a real activist in there in the trenches fighting for things that is wrong. I've followed you for a while. I've heard everything you've done. You joined my group. You joined my support group here. I'm about to do another one for Minnesota for the children. That's to get the pipeline, to stop the pipeline for kids in school, and they end up going to prison. That's what we try to do now. Yes, ma'am. But right now, I want to talk to you about what is your what you want to do. What you said you're going to run for office in Minnesota.
Yes. Yes, currently our leadership, I don't feel, has the community interest at heart. You know, our children, African-American children and disabled children with what we call 504 plans and IEP plans, those are plans they give to disabled children, whether they have, autism or ADHD or whatever it may be, plan or whatever their illness may be, but they are being disproportionately suspended, right? Here in Minnesota, make up for 35% of the overall student, you know, as African-American, but 72% of the suspension. You know, and it's not that our children are misbehaved any more than anybody else's children. It's because the Caucasian teachers in the school cannot identify with our children. They cannot relate to our children. And then they have this policy called zero tolerance. So our children can get suspended for chewing gum in class. And we all know if a child is suspended out of school for 2 days a month, then the likelihood of them graduating is zero to none. It's systematically set up for our children to fail. That's why we got to be our children's advocates. We got to have our foot, so to speak, on the neck of the administration. Because when we take when we don't do what we're supposed to do, they pick on our kids, they pass them over, they suspend them. But we can't allow that to continue to happen. So that's mainly
that is so true.
One of the things that I'm fighting for, you know, and another thing is that we don't have a lot of black teachers in our school. When I was growing up, I didn't have one white teacher. His name was Mr. Yulnowski.
Right.
He just won in third grade, and I didn't see another white teacher until I got to college. Because where I come from, in order to teach in the schools, you got to live in the school district. You have to live in the area. So that means that my teacher lived two blocks over from me, and she knew my grandmother, and if I did something wrong, she would spank me and then send me home, call my grandmother to tell my grandma what did, and she would spank me. It wasn't the same way that it is here, but there are no black teachers in school again because they want our children to fail, right?
I agree with you. My producer, she has a child that has autism, and she'll tell you the same thing. She works with kids of autism, and the principal of her school is African-American, and she gives blues to the teachers. She doesn't deal with the kids that have autism and disabilities. She puts teaches them completely different than all the other kids in the school. She puts them all the way in the back of the school, and she doesn't talk to them. And like I said, like you just said, you're setting our kids up to fail. You're right.
Yes,
you are. Yes. And like I said, it's okay. I think like this, I was an athlete in high school. I was a football player, wrestler, all that stuff. So I got passed along. I never had an algebra class until I got into college. And so I never took no algebra until I got in college. And so that's cheating me. I thought I was doing something, but it didn't do nothing but fail me. So
you
I agree 100% with this man. I agree 100% with this man. Yes.
Here,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
They don't, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said go ahead.
So
go ahead.
I'm so passionate.
No, you go ahead. You got the floor. Go ahead. You got the floor. It's your show. Go ahead.
Here in Minnesota, they don't take teachers. They don't transfer the credits for students that went to college at HBCUs to become teachers. They don't transfer those credits into Minnesota. They make you take additional classes and pay additional money out your pocket, as if to say my HBCU, my historically black college, is not good enough to teach your children, which is really our children here in Minnesota. That's another way that they set us up for failure, because statistics show if you have just one black male teacher in the school, the graduation rate for African American young men goes up 40%. So if one can bring 40, two can bring 80. If you know what I'm saying? So
Amen. That's
just another way that they use. They keep us from finding success. I tell you, I raised two boys in public school. I raised one in public school in Chicago and one in public school in Minnesota. And I tell you, with both of them, I had to stand on the neck of the administration, so to speak, because I wasn't going to let you mistreat
right.
my child. I wasn't going to let you kick my child out because you couldn't handle him that day. I was not going to allow the school administration to single my child up, to set him up to fail. And I got to say that both my last one's in college right now, and the oldest one is going to school to be an engineer.
There you go. Ain't nothing wrong with
it. God.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing. That's all it is. But like I said, I have a daughter, and we put her in a Christian school in Dayton, Ohio. She went to Dayton Christian, and then we put her in a college preparatory school, and called DECA, early college education, and that's where she went to then. But then I never did have her a public school since she got to North Carolina, and she was in such shock when she got to North Carolina school system, because she said, "Dad, they are reading books that I read when I was in fourth, fifth grade," and they think that's what they're supposed to do. My daughter comes in, they couldn't put her in honors classes because the honors classes were so behind her level. And see, how can you actually have a child ready for college and they're not on the level that they're supposed to be on? And they don't think there's nothing wrong with that. There's a whole bunch wrong with that. And just like you said, my mother was the same way with me. She stood on their neck. She said, "You're not going to fail my child. You're not going to do that to my child just because he plays football. Oh, you can put him in some decent classes." But like I said, I didn't take math classes because I figured, you know, I thought it was cool. I don't have to take no math classes because I'm not going to be able to. Algebra's not going to get me in the pros. I'm going to get myself to the pros. Algebra's not going to get me in the pros. But see, here it goes. Once again, I never did make it to the pros, but I make it to the penitentiary. So here we go. There goes the pipeline.
Right.
There goes the failure. There goes the failure of the black child. And it's not just the black kids. Mexican kids, poor Caucasian kids are treated just like you're African-American too.
Yes, especially if they are disabled. They treat
– right.
We have something up here now called seclusion, where you can lock a child in a closet if he has an IEP plan. They're acting out. I wish somebody would have locked my kid up in a closet. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Woo-wee. Thank you, Jesus. That
Amen.
And so that's my next mission. I want to know why you're putting these kids in the closet and locking them up. See, that's letting them know that that's where you deserve to be. You need to be locked up. But You need, they're conditioning our children in pre-K. I'm talking about pre-K. They're
letting
right. them know that you need to be locked. You're an animal. We got to treat you like one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You tell the truth. Danielle, if there's nobody in, why don't you come in and talk about this? Because I know you know. Don't hear you. Don't hear you. No. But try to get in when you get in. But
how about that?
No.
I can hear you now. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I work with special needs children at the school that I'm at. And our kids, we always are the afterthought. We, like, there was just an assembly and we knew nothing about it until it was almost over. I just happened to be in the hallway going to get something from the office, and I hear somebody over the PA system, and I look, and it's the police came in, and they brought in the K-9 unit and everything and was showing the kids and all this. And then when I said something, well, why weren't our kids invited? She said, well, I didn't think they'd really understand what was going on.
Oh,
the
my
sad
God.
Part about the sad part about that comment is, yeah, they're going to find out because they are special needs, which means they need to not be afraid of the police. They need to not be afraid of the K-9 unit, because then they're going to have a behavior, and then they're going to get tased, and then they're going to be put in jail where they're not equipped to handle it.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right.
I have a six-year-old that has autism and apraxia, and all apraxia means is that he doesn't speak and nobody knows why.
Okay.
But he, you know, he's autistic and very well behaved. As a matter of fact, he's sitting right next to me. He's coloring like he has nothing to do. But you know, but I worry about him because he is apraxic, which means he cannot answer questions. Which means if he becomes excited about something and jumps around or something, because most children with autism have trouble fitting into society because of their actions. They feel it, so they do it. That's just kind of
right.
how it goes. And, you know, I worry about these children. I worry about my child, and I worry about the children that I help teach, because I got one. This little boy is almost just feral. Oh my gosh, when he gets upset about something, he gets to jumping around and it's almost like you're watching an animal in the zoo. He's jumping and shrieking and literally jumping off the tables and swinging and flailing. And he's 11 years old now. He's as tall as I am, which is not saying anything. Don't you say anything, Bo. I'm very short. And but he's very... And I've got scars. I still got scars on my hand. My wrist is not the same. There's a teacher that I replaced that still can't return to work because she still got lasting injury from a concussion that he inflicted on her. So imagine what's going to happen to him once he's in high school.
You know, here in Minnesota, our police startle easily. The Twin Cities, we have a little sign to say the Twin Cities police officers startle easily, right? It's such a
mm-hmm.
So there have been cases where young men have gotten shot or killed because they had autism or were deaf. And,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to sign to you, but you think they're trying to be aggressive, and they don't like us anyway. So the first opportunity is to shoot. Shoot first.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, the practice here in Minnesota is to shoot first, ask questions last. Not ask questions first and shoot fast, you know? It's to shoot first. So we have police officers in a day and age that need sensitivity training, first and foremost. They need to be trained on mental health.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
the body cameras are good, but they also need to be carrying insurance. They need insurance. So if you shoot somebody, your insurance pays out that family, and your premiums go up. You know, when they have to start paying out of the pocket, they might think twice about harming some of our children.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
They might take those trainings a little bit more serious. They might want to go to a bias training or two. They might want to do some mental health training or have some mental health professionals ride along with them. They might want to do some things on those calls where they're getting calls for mental, you know, like when someone's having a breakdown or a mental breakdown. They might want to do those things if it costs them. Right now, it doesn't cost them anything, not even their job.
Exactly. It's become where it's accepted.
Right.
But I bet you once you hit somebody in their pocket.
That's something I've always said. How you
and
stop.
That crosses party lines. Because once you get these Republicans saying like, oh, I got to, we paid out $14 million this year in settlements to the police department.
Right. But
yes.
See, that's the whole point that we need to worry about that. There's too many people, those people in the head offices that don't want to listen to you because they think we're animals anyway. But it goes back to the point where we were just saying that we have to stop us kids and make them understand that you're already going against two things. You're African American, you're poor, and they don't give a crap about what you are. And they said they're going to make sure they can do what they need to do to protect their system because their system is what's paying their bills. And that's why they don't give a crap what we learn or whatnot or whatsoever. That's why I look at people when they say, all these African-American men out here playing all these multi-million-dollar contracts. Only one person I know right now will go back and put it back into the neighborhood, that's LeBron James. People say what they want about LeBron, but LeBron puts right back in the schools here in Ohio. And that's what I can give him credit for. I don't care if people say he's a crybaby when he plays basketball. Okay. But that man puts money back into school to take care of these kids, the poor kids in these schools. And that's what it's about. We have to come back to that. We have to come back to that as individuals, as people of God, as all of us, what people of God. How many churches don't stand up for what's wrong in neighborhoods? You do not want to talk about what goes on in these neighborhoods and the churches are in the neighborhoods. You see it every day.
I am the social justice ministry in my church.
Yes.
I am the whole
yes.
social justice ministry.
That's right. You need that.
Get up and come out in the streets or come out and stand up for Jesus didn't sit in the church and win souls. He went out into the streets and
that's
won.
Right.
Every time I read about Jesus, he was walking somewhere, right? So I ain't never read about him saying he preached in the temple except when he was 12 and he was hanging out in the temple and he got left by his parents. That's the only time I heard about him teaching in the temple. But other than that, Jesus was out in the highways and byways and preaching to the people. But today, we got some lazy preachers around us. We got some preachers that we want to bring people in, but we want to bring them in from inside the church.
That's right.
Okay.
You got to get out there. People are hungry and hurting. You know?
That's right.
And no one wants to do the real work. We want to evangelize. We're going to go to your house and give you some lifesavers. I'm sorry. They're going to be mad at me at my church. We're going to go to your house and give you some lifesavers and tell you where my church at. No. And not even 40% of them people come to the church. The people are hurting. They need
they
help.
They are.
Children are falling by the wayside. They are snatching our kids out of our homes here in Minnesota. CPS is taking our kids just because they want to. Right? And place them in white homes, place little black kids in white homes of white supremacists. Let's keep it 100. Let's talk the real. But the churches don't want to get up
right.
and get out there. They don't want to do nothing to make it uncomfortable. But then I can't, you know,
that's
let me stop
true.
Because that ain't everybody's call.
That's so true.
Apparently,
tell
I'm
true.
The only one that got the call in my church, but, you know.
No, it was so funny. I'm not going to name our church, but our church even told us, when I talked about, can we go into the county jails and talk? They told me that we have to be prayed up before we go in there because, you know, there's a lot of demons. And that's what I was saying. I said there's a lot of demons on the outside of the church. There's a lot of demons inside the church also. So are you going to pray for us in here? So I want to go I want to go inside this church, and I'm going to go inside these jails and these prisons and talk. You know, they need to hear that. Let them know I have your back. There's more of us out here who love you, and we want to make sure you're going to do the right thing once you come out. And that's the whole point. You need to get home to your kids. They need that dad there, not the dad inside the walls, the dad inside the house, taking care of them kids, making them boys deserve, make the boys go behind the walls with him. You don't want to join your father. You want to go ahead and be successful. Well, our time is lowering down. How many seconds we got? How many minutes we got left?
We've got 90 seconds, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Minister. You go right ahead. I'll tell you what to do this again. We're going to reschedule another one.
Well, again, I'm Minister Toya Woodland. I'm running for Minnesota 5th Congressional District State Representative. I'm running against Ilhan Omar, and that's the young lady that Trump doesn't like, and she don't like him. So I'm running against her, and you can go to my website at www.woodlandforcongress.com, or please like my page and share it, Woodland for Congress on Facebook. Please share it. Please have your friends share it.
We will definitely share it. We will definitely have to get off here because we're about to go in about 10 seconds. I want to say thank you so much. And we will do this again and be late now for us. We'll have our back on so we'll do a little bit longer. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Thank you. Have a good night.